filled out the visa form in the beginning, and I marked the religious worker instead of minister of religion. I thought the former was the missionary visa. The UK Immigration Service kindly advised me to withdraw my application and reapply with the correct route, and I did. They refunded my previous payment except the visa application fee, so I had to pay another application fee when I reapplied. Also up front, I had to pay the UK National Health Insurance for 3 years, which my visa is good for. I ended up paying $6,400 altogether plus the UK side. I still have a need for the passage funds. Please pray to help me for the visa fees and settlement of the London, UK expenses. The UK uses electric 230 voltage, which means I must buy new household appliances. At this point, I do not know where I'm going to stay in London. I'm still looking for a rent place to rent. A strange procedure is in the UK. Whoever lives on the property must pay the council tax, not the owner. The tenant must pay the tax. Isn't that odd? I'm so thankful for the UK pastor and the church who is willing to help me to get to the UK. The pastor tried everything to get the visa for me. I'm so blessed to have him. All my ministries the same. A continuation of smuggling the Bible booklets, John and Romans, to North Korea. A shortwave radio program sending Cuban Christians to North Korea, and adding to them is a church planting in London for North Korean refugees. I have been praying for this for many years. I am also going to do open air ministry in England. I can preach both languages, Korean and English, on the streets. First, I need to go to a training school to start an open air ministry. We are living in a confused and wicked generation in our history. I must learn what words I can speak and what words I'm not allowed to say in the street preaching so as not to cause legal problems. Yes, that happened recently in the UK. Thank you again for your generous support and prayers, Brother James Ray. And Brother James got a rough ministry. And if they catch you anywhere near North Korea, you're done. And but he has a great burden for his people and for his family. Some of them are still over there, and he's a great missionary. All right, let's turn to just a couple of verses tonight in 1 John. 1 John tonight. First John chapter 2. And we're going to read just a couple of verses there in 1 John. First John chapter 2 and verse 12. I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. I write unto your fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you little children, because you have known the Father. Lord, we ask you tonight to bless these two verses and some others we'll be looking at in the scriptures. And again, we ask your blessings upon the ones that's sick, and bless the people that are here and the young people gathered up in the other building. And Lord, we thank you for this new start in the new year. In Christ's name, amen. Brother Briley's sick too. I forgot to mention him. He texted me just before we started and said he is sick. All right, 1 John 2 and verse 12. In reading John's gospel, and of course, he wrote the Gospel of John and his epistles, 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, and then, of course, he wrote Revelations. But it's very easy to see that John was used of God to emphasize the family aspect of the Christian life. He uses so many times words like sons, little children, adoption, father. I think John was a family man. After all, Jesus entrusted him with his own mother. He trusted him with his own mother above his brothers, above the other disciples. And Jesus entrusted his mother. One preacher said that Jesus didn't have a mother-in-law, but if he did, he'd entrusted her to Judas. Now, he said that, I didn't. But Jesus shows a family aspect more than anybody else that there is in the Bible. I think John would have liked that song, "I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God." And I think John would have liked that song. John tells us we are children in God's family. And what we're looking at for a few weeks is just who are we as believers, as Christians. Just who are we? Well, John tells us that we're children in God's family. Listen as he writes, as God speaks through John. Of course, John's writing, but it's really God speaking through him. And John said, "I write unto you, little children." How important it is, it just simply cannot be overstated, the importance of the family. And much of our problem in our country tonight has to do with the breakdown of the family. And you see, the family was a good idea because it was God's idea. God's the one that come up with it. Husband, wife, dad, mom, grandparents. That was God's idea. And it worked really well for a long time. And in our kind of a day, we see a lot of little children these days without a biblical family. And if you don't have a biblical family, if you don't have a mother and a father, a loving mother and a loving father, I tell you, and probably over half of the children in our society today will meet that criteria. And if they don't have it, I mean, I appreciate a lot of single moms, a lot of divorced moms, and my mom fit in that category. As I was growing up, I was almost grown, but the rest of them were still there. And she worked tirelessly. I did a funeral the other day, and there's an older gentleman come up to me and said he appreciated the words I said at the funeral. And he said, "You don't know me probably, but," he said, "your mother used to ride to work with me," he said, "every morning." And back then, they didn't have three or four cars to family, just usually one car. And, of course, Daddy'd drive it to work. And so Mom, a lot of times, they'd have somebody, it'd be like four or five women that worked at Mallory's, and they had this one guy, he would pick them all up on the way to work. He was the foreman. And he'd pick them all up on the way to work. Of course, they'd give him a little money at the end of the week for riding with him. And he said, "I used to haul your mother and some other ladies to work every day over to Mallory's." And they worked tirelessly, working all those hours. Seven kids. Mama had seven kids come home too. And it's just a lot, just a lot. But when we look at families today, and there's some around, you see some here in the church, see some out in the world, but when you look at a family that has a biblical family the way God wanted it to be, a dad and a mom, and you look at those and then look at some of the children that don't have that, and it's not any problem to see the lack in their life. It's not their fault, but it's not any problem to see the lack in their life. The same thing is true with those of us that have a heavenly Father. We have a heavenly Father that we depend upon, we walk with, we try to serve, we try to pray to, we try to live for. And you look at them that has a heavenly Father and those that don't have a heavenly Father, it's not easy, it's not hard to see the difference. There's something missing, something lacking. And it is so very, very important that we as God's children, that we realize we are God's children. The devil don't want us to think about who we are. He don't want us to think about that. He's always attacking our mind. And I was talking to a friend this evening, and he was telling me about a guy that he went to church with, and he said the guy hardly ever got where he wouldn't speak to him, just kind of stayed to himself. And he said he told his wife, he said that guy, said there's something wrong with him. And he said he's not right, something wrong with him. And he said then come to find out he was having all kinds of problems at home that nobody knew about. He said, I felt bad about it after that and had to repent. We never know what's going on through another person's mind. What you see at church on Wednesday, Sunday, Sunday night, what you see is not necessarily what you get. It's not necessarily what's going on. Some people are dealing with all kinds of health issues. Some people are dealing with family problems about to the point of separating. Some people are dealing with problems with their children that nobody knows about, and just a lot of different things. Now, for you and me, now it's important that us who are saved realize who we are tonight, okay? I'm a child of God. Can you say that tonight? I'm a child of God. We sometimes act like orphans' children. If you listen to us talk, if you was to slip up behind us, or if we was to somebody was to record us while we're talking throughout the day, and they were to listen to us, it'd sound like we was orphan children. We didn't have nobody that cared, nobody to help us, nobody to love us. But that's not the case. We're God's children. And some people are not God's children. Everybody is not God's children. I know the world pushes that, always has. Everybody's a child of God. Everybody's a child of God by creation. But everybody's not a child of God by salvation. Big difference. You see, some people, you and I as children of God, we sometimes act like orphan children. And sometimes, even worse still, we sometimes act like the devil's child. But we're still God's children. And we need to realize that tonight. I think it'll help us tonight if we realize that. We're in God's family. We're part of the family of God. That's what John told us in John chapter 3 and verse 1. What manner of love hath been bestowed upon us, that we might be called the sons of God. We're God's children, God's sons, if you will. Now, how did we get there? Well, it's John who tells us about that. In John, in chapter 3, and a very familiar story in John chapter 3, and verse 3, I'm in the first John, need the gospel, John. Gospel of John, chapter 3, and very familiar story there. Said there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again. Her question was, how did we get to be one of God's children? How did we get to be in God's family? Well, I'll answer that question by asking a question. How did you get in your earthly family? How did you get in the family that you're in tonight? Well, you were born into it. That's what John 3 is speaking about. The Bible said, except a man be born again, down in verse 5, except a man be born of water. Water. Now our Church of Christ friends and some that believe in baptismal regeneration, they would like that water, they'd like to make that to be baptism. But in the context, it's very easy to see that's not what it is. Jesus said, he said, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. So he's talking about physical birth, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. He's talking about spiritual birth. And when he talks about except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he's talking about, first of all, the water being that physical birth. And every mother knows that a child is in water. And when that child's born, we say their water's broke. And so what he's saying is, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit. Well, you can't be born of the Spirit until you get born physically. When you get born physically, then you're a candidate later on in life to be born of the Spirit. Your father and mother worked out all the details. You didn't have nothing to do with it. Somebody else worked it all out and planned it all out. You didn't have a thing to do with it. Not a thing. The spiritual birth, aren't you glad that somebody worked it all out? And you don't have a thing to do with it. It's worked out by the Lord, by God. And when we look at that, your spiritual father, when we look at all the details worked out, your father worked it out so you could make the choice to have him for your father or the devil for your father. That's what he did. You see, the spiritual birth is different than the physical birth. You say, what do you mean? Physical birth, I had no choice as to who my mother and father is going to be. I didn't get to line them all up and pick which one I wanted. I had nothing to do with that. That was all somebody else's doing. And in this earthly life, I've had these little old bus kids back through the years. I've had a few of them come up to me and say, I wish you was my father. Wish you was my father. Well, we don't get to pick our earthly father down here. We don't have the choice of that. But in our spiritual birth, we can choose which father we want. We can choose God as our father, or we can choose the devil as our father. It's only two to serve. It's those two right there. And so we got born into the family of God, but we not only got born into the family of God, we got adopted into the family of God. In Romans 8, in verse 15 and verse 16. Let's look at that. Romans 8. Romans 8 and verse 15. The Bible says, Bible says, for ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit, there it is, that we are the children of God. When you got born again, there was a spirit that God put in you that lets you know that you're a child of God. One of the ways you know that is without anybody telling you to do it, you just automatically, when you prayed, you started calling him Father. And the Bible said the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And so we're unusual children tonight. We've been birthed into the family, but we've also been adopted into the family. I remember years ago, a fellow I worked with, and he died, I think, last year, Bob Buss, Brother Bob Buss. They tried to have children for years and never could have any children, and tried every route and everything. And finally, they adopted a boy. And like it usually goes, after they adopted a boy, I think they had a child of their own, maybe a couple. And But he told me one night at work that his boy come to him, and he said, "Daddy, you don't love me like you love the others, because I'm adopted." And he said, "I told him, I said, well, son," he said, "listen," he said, "I had to take them others where I wanted them or not, but," he said, "I chose you, I picked you." And he said that seemed to satisfy him. And so we didn't choose God. He chose us tonight to be one of his children. And I'm glad for that. So if you could think about the very best earthly father you've ever known, it might have been somebody else's father. Might have been your own father. Might have been your grandfather. But the very best father that you've ever known since you've been on planet Earth. Multiply that by about a million, and that's what God is. God is better than the very best earthly father that there is. That's our father. We're his child tonight. We need to register that in their mind. We're not just out here in the world like a bunch of orphan children begging from door to door and wondering how we're going to make it. No, we have a heavenly Father, and we're his child. Now, my wife, sometimes I'll be sitting on the couch or maybe working out in the yard, and she'll say, "You look just like your father. You look just like your dad." My dad had a certain way of sitting when he was driving. Sometimes I'll be driving, she'll say, "You look just like your dad. Just like him." Sometimes I'll say something and she'll say, "That's Lena's prophet right there. You sound just like your father." Well, I've never been accused too much out here in the world of looking like or acting like my heavenly father. Every now and then there's a few kids. I remember two or three, Cheryl and Greg's grandkids. They used to look at me like that. But I've had a few come up. I remember two or three back through the years. And you know, they call me Jesus. They want to come and see Jesus. But then after they get about 16 or 17, they don't want to see that old devil no more. But you and I... we need to be concerned about acting like our Heavenly Father and reacting like Him. The only way we could do that would be to study about Him. My family had five sisters and one brother. And the last one, I was Joy, I was already gone by the time she come along. But I had five sisters and a brother. And earthly speaking, I did not always like them. But I did always love them. Being a child of God, I have brothers and sisters. I do not always like them. And I'm sure they do not always like me. But I always love them. And if a family's got anything at all about them, any God at all about them, if they hadn't spoken for years, if they hadn't had any dealings for years, and somebody dies in that family, the mom or the dad or one of them brothers and sisters, I've hardly ever seen it fail that at the casket they're not hugging each other again or talking to each other or something of that nature. You say, why is that? Because they're brothers and sisters. And the old saying is, blood's thicker than water. And it's that way with God's children. You and me, we may get upset and aggravated at each other, which I know we do. But when push comes to shove, when somebody gets in a hard place, when somebody gets a bad doctor's report, when somebody has a great need, even though we may have not liked them because of something past, we still love them. It's still there to pray for them and still there to want to help them, still there to want to do what we can do. So as a child in God's family, I want you to remember this tonight. I'm cared for by my Heavenly Father. I'm cared for by my Heavenly Father. You say, why do you say that? I say that because of what God said. You say, what did God say? God said in 1 Timothy 1 in His Word, God said, honor widows that are widows indeed. Not everybody's husband's dead's a widow. Not the kind the Bible's talking about. But if any widow have children or nephews, let them learn first to show piety at home and to requite their parents, for that is good and acceptable before God. You say, what's that mean? That means that you should take care and help your family first before you help anybody else. Now she that is a widow indeed and desolate trusteth in God. He's telling you now what a real widow is. She trusteth in God and continue in supplication and prayers night and day. But she that liveth in pleasures dead while she liveth. These things give in charge that they may be blameless. But if any man provide not for his own, especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. He said, God be honored and glory forever and ever. Amen. This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou mightest war a good warfare. So what he's saying here, what God says here for us to do, what God says for us to do, God said we're to provide for His own and especially those of His own household. And if he don't, he's denied the faith worse than infidel. So God's saying that a good father, his responsibility is to provide for his family. What do you think God's going to do any less? We're God's children, and if God didn't provide for us, then he'd be worse than an infidel, wouldn't he? If we're God's children. So according to what he says here, God is our provider. God provides the spiritual food. That's what he's doing tonight. Just like your father provided physical food, God provides spiritual food as well as the physical food. You remember when he came in John 21 and Peter had backslid and he'd left and was going away and giving it all up, and he's going back to fishing, what he used to do before he started with God. And they fished all night and didn't have any success. Well, no child of God's going to have any success out in the world. Not for very long. You say, why? Because if you're God's child, he's not going to let you have it made out there in the world, because if he did that, you'd never come home. That's why the prodigal son, unlike fathers today, he did not send one dime to the far country. He did not bail him out. He did not do anything except pray for him. And there was no help provided until he came back. Right? That's the way the Lord is. When we get out of the will of God as one of his children, try to go back out in the world like Peter did, we're going to do like Peter. He told all night, it didn't take nothing. Wasn't doing no good. But what did the Lord do? Well, he hollered at them, and then when they got to shore, the Lord had fish baking on the coals, and he hadn't even got any of their fish yet. So I think the Lord made those fish out of stone. The devil tried to get him to back in Matthew 4 at the wrong time for the wrong reason, and he wouldn't do it. But now's the time right. It wasn't because he couldn't do it. It's just because he wouldn't do it, because it was the devil trying to get him to do it. Now, sometimes you may think that your Heavenly Father is not providing what you need. Well, you're thinking that because you didn't get it when you thought you needed it. But your Heavenly Father has promised you food and raiment. That much is promised. Something to eat, something to wear. And it don't say it, but I think we could probably throw it in there, someplace to stay. God has promised that. And I don't know about you, but God's always provided that for me. And I've never known what it was to really be hungry. And I've never known what it was to be homeless. And my Heavenly Father, since I've been trying to walk with Him and talk with Him, He's always provided that. Look in Colossians, a little book of Colossians. Let's run over there real quick. In Colossians 2 and verse 8 and 12. Colossians 2. Verse 8 through 12. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy, vain deceit, after tradition of men, after rudiments of this world, and not after Christ. For in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Watch it. And ye are complete in Him, which is the head of all principalities and powers. The Bible says you and I are complete in Christ. Everything we need is in Him. About the time I got back in church and everything, the Pentecostalism was really abounding at that time. Everybody was getting caught up in it. And these Pentecostal people, good people, probably saved people, love the Lord, some of them more than you and I do. But they were always telling you that if you didn't have the baptism of the Holy Spirit, that you was not complete. But it was a good day for me when I read what I just read to you. I read to myself, you are complete in Christ. Everything I need is in Him. When I got Christ, I got all the Holy Spirit that I was going to get. But He didn't get all of me. That's what being filled with the Spirit means. He gets more and more of us. Gets all of you. That's when it really gets good. God will provide for me because I am in His family. I do not have to, just because God provides it, I don't have to eat it. God provides two meals a day here on Sunday. Two meals a day. But His children don't have to come and eat it. Mama could fix it and put it on the table. But after I got grown, I didn't have to eat it. I didn't have to come in and eat it. Well, God's children's that way too. I may get corrected, and I will get corrected as a child of God. And if I don't, I'm not a child of God, according to what the Bible said in Hebrews. I want to look right. You want to look right or feel right. I do, don't you? I want to look right and I want to feel right as I represent my Heavenly Father. I want to act right, be right. One fellow sent his kids to church and they come home and his daddy and mama didn't go, never did. They said, "Was y'all good at church, kids?" The little boy said, "We must have been." A man said he never had seen nobody act like us. Sometimes God's children's that way. We don't need to be. Have you ever known somebody that was great parents? I mean, they were just great parents. A wonderful father, wonderful mother. Just great parents. And the kid turned out rotten. Let us never get it in our mind that just because we're good parents that our kids will turn out right. And by the way, don't get too down on your kids yet, because they're still turning. They're not out. My aunt told me at the door many years ago, she said, "I'm so proud of you." And I said, "What are you proud of me for?" She said, "You're the only one out of all the nephews that did right and turned out right." I said, "Whoa, whoa, wait a minute." I said, "I'm still turning. I ain't out yet. There's still time to mess up. Still time to mess up." While that's true in that direction, it's also true that the person with the worst kid in this church, whoever that might be, that kid may turn out to be the best kid after it's all said and done. It's that way with God's children. Sometimes God has some children that act up, mess up, and prodigals, but they come back, and sometimes they make the best church members because they've been out there and they're sick of it and they don't want to go back no more. People that have good parents, good mother, good father, but their children still turn out wrong. And we might be part of the problem. I don't negate that. I don't say that some children are not the way they are because we were the way they were. No doubt, many in our kind of a day is. They're like they are because that's all they ever seen, all they ever knowed, all they ever heard. That's why they are. But as you know, you can do everything right, get everything right as much as is humanly possible, and them still turn out wrong. I know some folks like that tonight, godly people, godly mom, godly dad, kids just way out there. Now, you might find some consolation in this. I do. In Isaiah 1 and 2, God said, "Hear, O heaven, and give ear, O earth." God said, "Hear this in heaven, and y'all hear this down on earth. For the Lord has spoken." It's the Lord speaking. "I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me." God had some children that didn't turn out right. And I know He did everything right. So, we realize people are free moral agents. Once they get to a certain age, they make their own choices and do pretty much what they want to do till they get locked up or put away where they can't. And so, same with God's children. It wasn't because God didn't tell them right, teach them right, show them right. He did all that right, but they still rebelled against Him. Now, if you want to up the odds, live an example before your children. Keep them in church 3 times a week, revivals and camp meetings and youth groups. Pray for their salvation early and that it will be real. And then pray. That's your best way to up your odds of them turning out right. But you and I are children of God. So who are we? Well, we're a child in God's family. And we will never have to worry about being loved. You might worry, will my wife always love me? Will my husband always love me? Will my kids always love me? Will my grandkids always love me? Hopefully, but it's not in the bag. But our Heavenly Father, Jeremiah 31:3 says, "Call unto me and I'll show thee great and mighty things that thou knowest not." I remind God of that quite often. Amen. Jeremiah 31:3, God said, "I have loved thee with an everlasting love." God said, "I always love you." As God's children, we'll never have to worry. Mom and dad gone. Kids may go before us. Friends may die before us. We may find ourselves here all alone. But we're a child of God. God will always love us. We never have to worry about being forgotten. People forget us. A lot of times I see folks in nursing home spend every dime they had and every hour they had on grandkids and stuff, and I see a lot of them in the nursing home that never do even get a visit. Kids forgot them. Can a woman forget her suckling child that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yes, yea. They may forget, yet will not I forget thee. Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. God said, I'll never forget you. I said at a funeral the other day, if God's ever knew you, he'll always know you. There won't never be none of that business. Depart from me, I never knew you. If you ever did know him. Because if you ever knowed him, he'd always know you. And if he ain't never knowed you, he never will know you. Never have to worry about someone to care about us. Isn't it wonderful to have somebody to care? Children, family. Maybe you don't have no children or family or parents. We got a church family, and you get sick or something comes up, and one of them will call you or send you a card or make sure you're doing okay. Isn't that good to have somebody to care? But if nobody called and nobody come, he cares. He said, casting all your care upon me because I care for you. We never have to worry about being forsaken. Forsaken. How many's lost their parents? Isn't that a lonely feeling? The first day after the funeral, and the thought comes to your mind, for the first time in my life, I'm in this world without a mother or father. Who will pray for me now? Who will see to me now? But we're in God's family. We're a child of God. This verse come to my mind the day that my mom went to heaven and the day my dad went to heaven. It says, when my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. The Lord said, you're not an orphan. You're not without a mom or dad. I've taken them, so now I'm your mom and I'm your dad. And I won't forsake you. Isn't that wonderful? Remember that someday, God forbid, you're sitting in a nursing home and everybody's gone, you're sitting there by yourself. The devil says, you're forsaken. You're all by yourself. Remember that verse. No, I'm not forsaken. When mama went to heaven, when daddy went to heaven, the Lord, he became my father and my mother. He's taking care of me now. He corrects me just like my mother used to. He feeds me just like my mother used to. He cleans me just like my mother used to. He checks on me just like my mother used to. We are a child of God. You and I are children of God. Let's remember that. We're a child of God, which means we're a child of a king. I like that song. We used to sing it here. Once I was clothed in the rags of my sin, wretched and poor, lost and lonely within, but with wondrous compassion, the King of all kings, in pity and love, took me under his wing. Oh yes, oh yes, I'm a child of the King. His royal blood now flows in my veins, and I, who was wretched and poor, now can sing. Praise God, praise God, I'm a child of the King. Listen, Now I'm a child with a heavenly home. My holy Father has made me His own, and I'm cleansed by His blood, and I'm clothed in His love. And someday I'll sing with the angels above. Sing it with me. Oh yes, oh yes. I'm a child of the King. His royal blood now flows in my veins, and I, who was wretched and poor, now can sing. Praise God, praise God. I'm a child of the King. Don't forget that. Who am I? I'm God's child. Father, thank you tonight for the Word of God. Thank you for reminding us of things that we so easily forget. We do have a Heavenly Father that loves us and watches and knows even the number of the hairs upon our head. And not one sparrow ever falls to the ground that He doesn't know about it. And yet the Bible said, He said, are ye not worth more than a sparrow? Thank you, Father, for letting us be in the family, getting born in it, getting adopted in it, living in it.